On your mark, get ready, start.
Broadcasting from California and Delaware, this is the Hard Rocking Trivia Show, and here are your hosts, Mark and Danny.
All right, everybody in podcast land, time for another segment of Rapid Fire, where we try to stump each other with trivia questions that come out of our own brains. We'll see if we can get Mark to not go 3 for 3 this time. He's been on a roll lately, and it's kind of annoying, but...
I'm the greatest.
wish it translated to money in my bank account, but it doesn't.
Yeah, 3 for 3 for cash money.
Yeah, it's not working out the way I planned it. World domination is not in my future.
Okay. Well, if you were 3 for 3 in the World Series, you'd be making millions.
Yeah, I would. But I'm not.
No. Let's see how you do this time.
Yeah, I'm teaching kids how to throw beanbags at targets.
All right.
But it's fun, actually. But it's not going to make me a lot of money. But go ahead.
No. All right, question number one for you. Can you name 5 bands that Denny Carmassi has recorded with?
Denny Carmassi played with everybody. Let's see. He was in Montrose.
Yep.
He was in Heart.
Yep.
I think he recorded with Whitesnake once.
Yep.
I'm going to say Sammy Hagar, maybe.
Yep.
I got one more. Who else has he played with? This one is where I'm... how about Jimmy Page?
Close.
Coverdale Page.
Yes. Coverdale Page.
5. Wow. Well, who else is he recorded with?
He was in Gamma for quite a while.
Yep.
And he recorded with Joe Walsh.
Didn't know that.
And there are a few others that aren't really appropriate for this show, but he's recorded...
They're inappropriate?
Yeah, they're inappropriate for this show.
Oh, who do you record with?
Like female pop singers and stuff, studio work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah, you ever heard those Gamma records?
No, not really.
They stink.
Oh, okay.
Which would be surprising. Ronnie Monterose was great in Monterose, and it was his band after Monterose, and yeah, the Gamma albums just didn't do it for me.
I don't know. That's weird.
Maybe I was in the wrong headspace and have to revisit them. I don't know if I have them anymore. But yeah. Okay.
All right.
Question one for you. Thin Lizzy question.
All right.
Okay. Thin Lizzy had 4 top 10 singles in the UK. Can you name them?
Just 4 top 10 singles.
And I'll give you the year and see if you can guess. The first one was a number 6 hit in 1973, so early in their career. What do you think it would be?
I'm going to say Whiskey in the Jar.
That's correct.
All right.
The second one went number 8 in 1976 and is a big hit here.
Got to be the Boys Are Back in Town.
Yep, 2 for 2 on that one. Third one came out the next year in 1979. We went number 9, and it's on the Black Rose album.
Oh, the Black Rose.
With the great Gary Moore.
Yeah. Was Waiting for an Alibi on that?
Waiting on an Alibi. That's 3 for 3.
Yeah.
Woo!
Woo-hoo!
The UK top 10s. And the last one, which really surprised me, their last top 10 hit came out in 1980. And it's on the Chinatown album.
Chinatown.
And there's a video for the song.
That was in 80?
1980. Came after Black Rose. So when Gary Moore left and Snowy White came in.
Right. Chinatown. Wow.
It was probably never hardly ever played on U.S. radio either. But over there, it did really well.
Wow. I don't know. I've got that other one, the other album with the flag on the front.
Renegade, which is the album after, yeah.
Yeah, I keep thinking of songs off of Renegade.
Because there were singles after that, but yeah, this is the surprising song.
I don't know.
Killer on the Loose.
What a great song.
The loose again. Yeah, number 10.
A Lady Killer on the Loose.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great song.
Not even a blip on the radar here.
No.
Yeah, love that song.
Who? Thin Lizzy? Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, I've never heard of them. The boys are back in where? Thin Lizzy, one-hit wonder here, but not in the UK.
Wow.
But hey, that's pretty good. You got 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4,
so,
yeah.
That's a you got that one right, so that's good.
Okay.
Yay! 75%.
That's a passing grade. Okay.
You got it. A solid C, right?
Okay, that's all we're going for here.
Right.
Okay, here's another one with what do these bands have in common? Heart, Kiss, AC/DC, Journey, and Cheap Trick.
They're all mammals.
That is incorrect.
Okay, they said Heart.
Heart, Kiss.
Cheap Trick, and Journey.
And AC/DC.
All have in common? Are they all in the same? No, they can't be on the same record label because Kiss is not. That ain't it.
They're not all guys.
That's true. They're not all the same. They're not from the same country.
Nope.
They're not all. They don't have the same number of members. But that didn't sound right. especially Heart's case. Right?
Okay. That's, yeah.
Well, because they have the same number of members in Kiss as they do in Heart. Think about it. Okay. so you got it now. It took you a second. Oh.
Oy.
The biggest hits were in the 70s?
Nope. They were all formed officially in 1973.
Good answer.
73.
Nice. I didn't even think about that. I was busy thinking about things. Damn, I'm losing.
Well, you're 1 for 2. Am I 2 for 2?
No,
I went.
You're 1 for 1 right
first.
Now.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Here's the doozy, though. You ready?
Oh, jeez. Okay.
All right. When Randy Rhoads left Quiet Riot to join Ozzy's band, Kevin DeBrow still had Quiet Riot, but when Randy left, he changed the name to something else. What did he change the name to until later he turned it back to Quiet Riot? So he changed the name from Quiet Riot to another name.
Oh, man, I know this.
What would a guy with a big ego do?
I think he called it DeBrow.
Wow.
You're a 2 for 2, sir.
Yes. Oh. I knew it was something short that he changed it to.
Until Randy died and then... Rudy came back, and they switched it back to Quiet Riot, and Metal House happened. Yep.
And Carlos came on the scene.
Cavazos. Oh, speaking of Carlos, did you know what Carlos is doing now? I just saw this. He joined Rough Cut, kinda, but they call the band Rough Riot now because Paul and Carlos were in Quiet Riot, too, and the other guys were in Rough Cut, so... They do a little touring thing called Rough Riot. So they play Rough Cut songs and Quiet Riot songs.
Oh, that'd be cool. Who's from Rough Cut?
It's Paul, the drummer, the guitar player, and I think the bass player. So it's 4 Rough Cut guys plus Carlos. No, wait. Sean McNabb, who was in Quiet Riot, also is the bass player, so...
All right.
It's a mixture of guys who played in both, basically. But yeah, just
so is that who's the guitar player from
It's the one
from Rough Guy, like Amir or something?
No, it's the other guy.
Oh, okay.
I forgot his name offhand. He looks completely different now, but he was a pretty good player.
That Quiet Riot album with Paul Sorrentino is my favorite.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
By far. I know I say it, but I don't know what it is, but it's just great. Well, I like Paul, so there you go.
Yeah. I got to revisit that. I love Stay With Me Tonight. Yeah.
That's one of the... That's like maybe one of my top 10 songs.
Yeah. They should have probably just changed the name from Quiet Riot because it didn't sound like Quiet Riot with Paul.
No, not at all. Okay. Are you ready for question number 3?
I am.
This one's pretty rough or pretty tough unless you know it. Who played guitar on the Cheap Trick song Voices?
Is it one of the guys in the band or is it a guest, special guest?
It was somebody that was asked to play on this song because they really didn't like that song and thought, well, kind of a throwaway track, so Rick Nielsen didn't really want to play on it, and then it turned out to be kind of a
hit. It was a minor hit. It couldn't have been John Lennon. Oh, you know what? I'm going to say John Lennon.
John Lennon?
Well, he was dead by then.
The Beatles?
Rick actually played with John Lennon.
Right. It was not John Lennon.
It's not John Lennon. Another guess is somebody probably not as big as John Lennon. How about...
Who's as big as John Lennon?
I know. It's obviously somebody less.
Yeah.
How about... Pete Townsend?
No, it's one of my... Top 5 guitar players, one of my top 5 favorite.
Steve Lukather.
That is correct.
I had no idea.
Wow. Yep.
But I missed that one. I'm 0-3. Christ.
Wow. Wow.
And see, you can miss this question and be the champion of this week.
Let's see. Wow. No, you got the first one right, the Denny Carmassi song.
Okay, yeah, so I'm 1, and you've already gotten 2.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Well, if you read that Steve Lukather book, it is unbelievable what who he's played with.
Yeah, and he's still, a lot of people don't know who he is.
That's ridiculous. Because everybody in the world owns something that he played on.
Yep.
Even the Aborigines in Africa or whatever.
Oy, 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 oy.
I was going to say even the Eskimos. Oh, I love you on Beat It. Okay.
Oh, yeah, he played guitar and bass for that whole song, and it was just...
Yeah, this is Eddie's only the solo.
Yeah.
Isn't it basically the total band playing that whole album?
Yeah, basically, yeah. It was him, Steve Porcaro, David Page, Jeff Porcaro.
And even Mama Porcaro, apparently.
I mean, Steve Porcaro, the keyboard player, wrote Human Nature.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
Yep.
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
Well, okay. You're right. You make big money. The guys who just play, they just get a fee and that's it.
Well, it varied depending on what their contract was. A lot of times they just came in and did it for, you know, $100.
Yeah.
He played all guitars on Olivia Newton-John's Let's Get Physical.
I did not know that.
Played all the guitars, and he did it in like a couple hours. And if you listen to the solo, you can tell it's him if you listen to it with that in mind. But it's like, wow.
Has anybody actually sat down and listened hard to that song?
They usually watch, I did.
The video,
I did
watch after the video.
After I read the book on that part, I played the song. I was like, okay, yeah, all right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
Question 3 for you after that.
All right.
Steve Lukather moment.
Yeah. And you're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Vinnie Vincent has recently announced an all shred show in Nashville in February. Have you seen that? Who?
No.
Well, he has. He's supposed to play in Memphis, and they postponed it and moved it to Nashville. But on the poster, he's got a picture of two guys who are going to be his rhythm section. And they're big names. Who's going to be the rhythm section for Vinnie Vincent in February?
Wow.
One of them lives in the Santa Clarita Valley with me. Big time drummer. And the bass player, we both pretty much worship. And we've seen, you've seen him live before. And these guys are monster players. And they played together in a band before. And a band that we love.
It's not Billy Sheehan, is it?
No, it's not. It's not Billy Sheehan. The drummer, he's played with everybody. And he actually co-wrote some songs in the 70s that were huge. The bass player has played with a lot of people, a lot of great guitar players. And they played together in a band in the late 80s. And they ran a three-piece with another guy.
I'm trying to think of a bass player that I've got his face. I can't remember his name.
All right, the bass player is famous for playing fretless a lot.
Yeah, exactly. That's who I'm thinking of.
Drummer is famous for
Tony.
Mm-hmm.
Tony. Oh, shoot. Now I have McAlpin in the brain. No, Tony Franklin.
Correct. He's the bass player. So who's the drummer?
Oh, Carmine Appice?
Correct.
Rapacy?
Yep, Appice.
Wow.
They're playing rhythm for Vinnie Vincent. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Yeah, it's shocking. Because Vinnie actually came out and played before the Monsters of Rock cruise. He came and played with 4x Fate. You know, the guys.
I saw that video.
Yeah, and he's not really shredding. He's just kind of.
He didn't play. He just played the rhythm part.
Yeah, I'm thinking this guy, because he's been bragging and he's been playing every day and practicing. I didn't see any signs of that. I saw a guy who was barely getting by.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody could learn Lick It Up in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's not too difficult. Even me, and I can't play.
Yeah, I could teach that to you. And then you'd be like, hey, look, I'm playing Kiss. I'm as good as Vinnie Vincent.
Yeah, so when they announced that, I'm like, oh, my God, these guys agreed to do it. I mean, I would go, I'd go just to see if it's a train wreck, but just to see Tony Franklin and Carmine play together, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I saw Tony Franklin play with one of those young guitar blues dudes.
Was it Jared Nichols or something like that? Or
no, older than that.
Oh, God. One of the blues guys? Eric Johnson? Somebody like that?
No, it's kind of like Eric Johnson, but...
Johnny Lang?
Yep.
I saw Johnny Lang open for Van Halen when he was like 20. It was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was great, but yeah, Tony Franklin played with him.
Wow. So, yeah, that should be pretty interesting if you're in that.
I'm going to want to see videos of that.
But I'd rather see John Sykes play with those two guys again. Right?
Oh, absolutely. You kidding?
John Sykes is just kind of dropped from the face of the earth. I know he's in Northridge somewhere, but come on, John.
He was on that metal show the one time with a project they were working on, and then nothing happened.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the Winery Dogs.
Was he?
Yeah, it was him. And then when he couldn't get his stuff together, because, he takes forever to work, the other guys are like, I gotta find somebody else. And Eddie Trunk said, what about Richie Kotzen? One of your dogs are born there. But it was supposed to be John Sykes. But, I mean, that
wow.
Changed that band, huh?
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine that band with John Sykes. I mean, because Richie Kotzen is amazing.
He is. And what a singer. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance to see him solo, do it. He's really good.
All right.
All right, I think we're done with that part.
All right, cool.
The Hard Rockin' Trivia Show is sponsored by Hard Rock Arena Radio, which features the best of the 70s and 80s hard rock and beyond, 24 hours a day.
Oh, I got a bone to pick with you real quick.
Uh-oh.
You don't have Facebook anymore, right?
That is correct. I'm done with Facebook.
You're sick of it, because I was going to send you... Anvil put out a video for the song "Bitch in a Box," and I was gonna.
Oh, really?
I was gonna send that to you. He's like, "Oh my!" He's like, "I can't send it to you. I guess I have to email it to you."
Or text it.
I can text it? I can
text sure.
If I know how, but I'll try. Text,
copy the link, if you're on your phone.
Okay.
Just copy the link and send it to me via text or email it either way.
Not the greatest video ever, but I think it's a funny song.
The
GPS, bitch in a box. The video is so cheaply made. It's funny. I liked it.
Is it on
YouTube?
YouTube. Okay. Oh, yeah. I was thinking Netflix, but YouTube. All right.
When you get off and you watch it, you'll laugh.
All right.
You're going to say, wow, your lips should have seen a dentist at some point. Woo.
Yeah. I told you I met him last time I saw them, right?
Yeah.
Headed around, met him and Rob.
I like lips. He seems like a genuine good dude. Especially.
Oh, he is. He was pissed that Rob went backstage and got him. He's like, Jesus Christ, can't even change my shirt. I want to say, dude, you're back there like 45 minutes. I don't know what you're doing, but. You could have changed your shirt.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, relax.
Yeah, they're supposed to make a sequel to that movie.
Are they?
Yeah, I hope so. I even took my wife to that one. She loved it.
Oh, it was a great movie. If none of you guys out in podcast land have seen it, check out the Anvil movie. It's really good.
Yeah, I love it.
I don't know that it's Bohemian Rhapsody good, but...
I like it better. The music in Bohemian Rhapsody is better.
than the
Anvil movie. The Anvil movie I like better. Though, and I like Bohemian Rhapsody. It was okay.
I haven't seen it.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. The guy who plays Brian May is spot on perfect.
He's really
the mannerisms, the voice, perfect. The guy who plays Freddy, pretty good too.
Yeah.
But there's some timeline issues in the movie. You know, like they'll have a certain look, and they put fat and bottom girls earlier in the career than it really was. There's a couple of little things that they, you know, a hardcore Queen fan, we go, that's not what happened. Or,
wait a minute, that wasn't on that album.
Yeah, it's because it's a movie. They made a couple things up, but for the most part, it goes along the story.
Those are the people they were going for. They weren't going for the hardcore fans.
No, it's made like $750 million or something like that. For a rock biopic?
Yeah, that's totally revitalized Queen's career, which was already taken off huge anyway, but...
Yeah.